to have Miss Debbie back with us again tonight. She wasn't feeling really good last night. And let's pray much for the Word of God.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Verse number 13 tonight. 2 Samuel 23. Verse number 13. We will begin there. Studying another text in the David's Mighty Men chapter. I'm running out of nights before I run out of verses. You're bound to have been wondering about that last segment with all those names. If I had to choose one in that list, it would be Uriah. I've wanted a long time to preach on Uriah, husband of Bathsheba. And there he is at the end, one of David's mighty men. Someone asked me last night about a book that I had recently recommended. Occasionally I do what I call a book hint. We put it on YouTube on our channel. And I brought that book with me tonight. So if you're here or if you know who that might have been, I'll share that information with you after the service. It's a book that dedicates itself to proving biblically that we're not going to be here during the tribulation. I strongly believe that. I believe the Lord's coming to get us before that hour of trial that's going to come on the whole earth. I'll share that information with you gladly. Verse 13. In fact, let's do this. Let's just read the whole text again. That way you know where we're going. Not that you've not been reading it all week. 587 times it's been read before we even calculate tonight. And three of the 30 chief went down. They are not among the first three. They are not among the second three. But they are among the 30. Three of the 30 went down and came to David in the harvest time. Hot. Weather's blistering. They came under the cave of Adullam. You might be wondering, what's David doing in a cave? We'll talk about that. Oh my, look. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. That word means the giants. And David was then in an hold. It's beautiful King James English. He was in a garrison. He was in a fortress. He was in a hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was over in Bethlehem. Verse 15. And David longed. Means he craved. He yearned. David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem." Bethlehem may have had more than one well, I don't know. But this is the one by the gate. Y'all remember David grew up at Bethlehem. It's hometown to him. We're told Jesus was born in the city of David, Bethlehem. Verse 16. And these three, I don't know their names, these three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they took it and brought it to David. They loved him that much, they would risk their lives to bring their commander-in-chief a drink of cold water. I'm in the middle of verse 16. Nevertheless, David would not drink thereof. I hope we can get to the bottom of this. David would not drink thereof, but he poured it out. Not just poured it out, he poured it out unto the Lord. Our last verse, David said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it." The text closes, "These things did these three mighty men." An unusual account, to say the least. Preacher, I've sort of wanted to preach on it for a good while. God's, I believe, going to give me the opportunity here tonight. Father, would you give us insight? Would you let the Holy Spirit illuminate our minds and bring glory to your name? May each of us leave here tonight having been challenged through this paragraph of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I think the first thing I'd like to observe in that 13th verse is that fact that David had a, what I'd like to call, a magnetic personality. You know, he's a fugitive here. By the laws of the land of Israel, by the word of King Saul, David is an outlaw. And yet there are people that want to be with him. Three, everything we studied so far, Shema was mentioned tonight. Everybody we've studied so far, something someone's done single-handedly. Now it's a team. It's a group. Three of the chief men of David. Notice it says, and they came to David. I don't know where they have been. We're not given that information. But they wanted to be with David. They came to David. That reminds me of a verse in the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter. By the way, they came to David. There is no doubt again and again in the Bible, David is a type. He is a picture. He is a symbol of the Lord Jesus. They want to be with their David. Now I'm going to make a statement and you respond however you want to. I want to be with my Jesus. That is our heart's throb. That is our heart's desire. Not a one of us in here tonight, we're looking forward to the day when he will come and catch us away into his presence. And the best part of that text, I think, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. They wanted to be with their David. But David's ill thought of. David is a persona non grata. David is not a popular man. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to get more and more this way in America. Jesus is not a popular man either. He is maligned. He is belittled. He is ignored. I like the songs we sung tonight. But I still, anybody want to say amen? I still want to be with him. That verse in Hebrews I mentioned says, let us go forth outside the camp, outside the gate to be with our Lord. Jesus was crucified outside of the city limits of Jerusalem. They didn't want anything to do with him. By the way, he was crucified outside the city limits of Jerusalem because he's dying that day as the sin offering. And in Leviticus 1 through 7, the sin offering, it could not be offered on the tabernacle brazen altar. You take it outside. God so detests, God so hates sin, and he still does today in this very hour. They wanted to be with their leader. They came to David. Look, it said they came to David in harvest time. In harvest time. I don't know it's most important, but the word there for harvest, it's the idea of cutting something short. I'm sure it's the idea of reaping, time to bring in the crops that have been growing. They came in harvest time. You ever realize, and I'm sure you have, there are seasons in the Christian life. Psalm 1 talks about the man that loves the Word of God and meditates in the Word of God day and night. And one of the benefits of that man, he shall bring forth his fruit, listen to these words, in his season. In his season. Some of you are in the springtime of your Christian life, and what a time that is. Still got that first love going. You still get excited about going to God's house. There's still the thrill of it. Some of you are in the summertime season of your Christian experience. And by the way, when you go through those times when it's dry, when you go through those times when it's not as exciting as it once was, I'll take an amen. You just keep on being busy for the Lord. You just keep on serving Him. I'm not developed to say they went to be with David in the harvest time. I find that God can bring in fruit at some of the most inopportune times in all. It just defies God's ability to bring. I'll never forget the first soul the Lord let me win to Christ. As a young boy, maybe 13, but the preacher had preached on it and my relatives had talked about it, and I was asking the Lord to let me win a soul. Oh, I wanted to win a soul. The first harvest time of my life. We were in church on Sunday night. Back then we had something called BYPU. It stood for Baptist Young People's Union. It later became Training Union. And we were in our young folks training union class, and our teacher suddenly was called upstairs. The pastor sent a message. Preacher needs to see you. Training union class. She looked at me and she said, Mike, would you take care of the class? It'll only be 10 minutes. The bell will ring and we'll all go upstairs for the evening service. I'll never forget it. Harvest time. She said, take over. So I took over. I went to the podium. All I knew to do, and I'd seen it done many a time, I said, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. I was going to give an invitation. And I'll never forget the question. I said, is there anybody here lost on your way to hell and you want to get saved? I mean, that had been my prayer. I'm telling you the truth. A young lady's hand went up. Scared me to death. I said, put your hands down, everybody. I said, now, hear me again. Anybody here want to get saved? Same little old hand went up. And I'm just doing because they'd taught us the Roman road of salvation. Gets criticized a lot, but it still works. And I got down on my knees with that young lady who was my age, maybe a year younger. Never will forget her name, Debbie Baldwin. Never will forget her name as long as I live. Godly family in the church. She had never been saved. And I got to show her how we're all lost, going to hell if we don't meet Jesus, how Jesus died on Calvary to save us from an eternity in a pit of damnation. And she wanted to get saved, and right then and right there, she asked Jesus to be her Savior and went upstairs and told her mama and daddy, walked the aisle that night and told the preacher and the whole church it was harvest time in my heart. I like harvest time. I want to be with them. And by the way, we are being told that the church is dying. We're being told that the church is shriveling up on the vine. But I'm telling you what, hope I get an amen. Harvest time's not over down here yet. They came to the cave of Adullam. That idea of a cave interests me some. Psalm 57. I love to preach it, but I have not preached it in years. David's in a cave. When that psalm begins, he's depressed, he's discouraged, he's at wit's end. But by the time you get to the end of Psalm 57, he's praising God, shouting it out, rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. I just want to say something. I got a God that can get me out of the cave, thank you. Some of you may be in a cave here tonight. And if you are, you have come to the right place, because there's a Savior in this building where you don't have to stay in a cave. Why is David in a cave? He's a wanted man. Out there, Saul has his assassins prowling the countryside. They're to kill on sight. Shoot. And then, bow and arrow. And then ask questions. He's in the cave of Adullam. What I read about the cave of Adullam and that area. Oh. Cave of Adullam. Where is it? Well, I looked it up. About 13 miles from Bethlehem. You might want to tuck that fact away. You're about 13 miles from Bethlehem. Cave of Adullam. It is barren. It is dry. I read today there is not one blade of green grass to be seen anywhere. I mean, just stark, bald desert. And that's where David is. I'm wondering this. Would you nod at me at least? Wonder if you might get thirsty out there in that kind of an environment. I think his tongue begins to swell. I think he swallows a time or two. He's in the cave of Adullam. But that's not all of the facts. And the troop of Philistines is pitched in the valley of Rephaim. Philistines, Gath, Eschelon, Goliath of Gath. That's that crowd that had those giants in the land in those days. The enemy is pitched. That's the idea of pitching your tent, stretching out the canvas. They're pitched over there in the valley of Rephaim. And again, Rephaim does mean giants. Let's go to the next verse. We're getting the basics of David was then in an hole. They had turned that cave into a sort of a fortress. He is in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. It was then in Bethlehem. Remember, that's David's home city. That's where Jesus will be born. That's about 13 miles away. They've got that city sown down the presence of the enemy. Bethlehem. Go to our next verse, if you will, please. David longed. David is merely making a comment. David longed and again craved and said, Oh, it's an interjection. Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. I have no doubt he does not think that is possible. He knows the enemy is just over there entrenched. He's just merely wishing for a sip of that water from Bethlehem. Y'all ever heard this expression? I know you have. Sweet memories. Sweet memories. He's got sweet memories. Remember, David is a shepherd before David is a king. He has carried his lambs, his flock by that well. Brother David, they have drawn water from that well. He has tasted the sweetness of that well. Oh my, the sweetness that would bring to me. Oh, it's the best water I believe I've ever had. And David is drunk out of 100 or more wells, you know, in his years as a fugitive. I just want a sip of that water out of the well of Bethlehem. There's nothing wrong with that. He's just enjoying a sweet memory of his childhood. I got to thinking today, every one of us ought to have some sweet memories of our past in terms of our relationship with the Lord. I know a boy, and I think he probably carried it too far. He nearly tore his church up because they had outgrown their building and they were building a new building. And they, of course, would have to have new carpet in that building. He got adamant. He said, I saved right there. He said, I ain't going nowhere with that. I saved on that carpet. That's where I met God. That's a special place to me. And I oppose every bit of this new stuff. And I'm not vouching for him, is it? You know how the preacher solved it? They had to build the building. He got him a knife, ripped out. He said, show me right where you got saved. He ripped that out, rolled it up, and said, take it home and put it in your bedroom. We're building the building. Amen. That was a holy piece of ground to him. It's where he met the Lord. Talk to me. Anybody got a special place like that in mind? Some sweet memory of the past. Let me tell you mine very quickly. It's what Grandma Green called it. The June apple tree. I don't know anything about apples. The June apple tree. All I know is it had the apples. It bore its fruit before any other tree in the orchard. The June apple tree. They were not all that big, but they were yellow. And when they got ripe and mellow, they're the sweetest tasting things in the world. But the June apple tree was not endeared to me because of the sweet fruit it had. That's where I'd go as a 13-year-old boy, a 14-year-old boy, and preach the Word of God. Oh, preacher, I already knew God was dealing with me. I already knew God was working in my heart. And I'd get down there under that June apple tree, a canopy of limbs and leaves, and I'd cut loose preaching. If apples had souls, every one of them would have got born again. I'm telling you what. I preached and preached and preached and preached. I hollered and I yelled and I slobbered and I spit. Somebody smile at me. Preacher, I do it night after night after night. That is a special place in my heart. That's what the well of Bethlehem was to David at this time and at this moment. Are y'all all right? Oh, I wish somebody give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Oh, that's interesting. Which is by the gate. The well is by the gate at the very entrance into the city of Bethlehem. I think I'll say this. Y'all are listening well. That's a pretty good place to have a well right there by the gate because anybody can have access to the cool, clear water. Let me tell you where my thoughts are going, and I praise God for it. Isaiah chapter 12, I believe it's verse 5, talks about the wells of salvation. The wells of salvation. Anybody in this building ever tasted out of the water of the well of salvation? Thank God. the wells of salvation. Brother Bagwell, where are those wells? Let me tell you where God put the well. It's where he put the brass altar. It's where the blood of the lamb will be shed. He put it right by the gate. Oh my, in the tabernacle. I'm talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness, in the tabernacle, and it's a beautiful thought. That gate at the front of the tabernacle, listen to me, 20 cubits wide, 30 feet in width, and right there it's set. Biggest piece of furniture in the place. It's a picture of Calvary. It's where the blood of the Lamb will be shed. God put the altar. God put Calvary. God put the well of salvation. I need an amen. Right by the gate. Why would he put it right by the gate? I'll tell you why. So that whosoever will may come. That water's by the gate. Let's go to our next verse. I think we're making good time. And the three mighty men break through. Preacher, I love the way the Holy Ghost does this when we're preaching. I've studied several hours today for this text and prayed and need God's touch and God's Spirit. But I'm seeing things right now. No commentator I read saw, and no preacher I followed, brother. Three mighty men. They're going to go and try to get David. What? Three. Three. Three mighty men. That word is Gibor. It means champions. Ultra brave soldiers. Three mighty men. Here's what I just thought of. They didn't all have that idea at the same time. Let's go get him some water out of the way. Somebody had to initiate that thought process. Somebody had to say, fellows, come here. I need a word with you. This may be the most harebrained idea you've ever heard, but I heard the king say he's thirsty. Heard him say he'd like some water from that well in Bethlehem. It's 13 miles away. You could be risking your life, but I think I'm a-going. I'm going to do my best to get my king some wine. Y'all ever heard this? Your wish is my command. All David did was wish for a little bit of water. And somebody said, his wish is my command. I'm going to get the water. Let me just stop and try to preach that a minute. His wish. Could I get some amens? His wish ought to be our command tonight. God is not willing, God does not wish for any to perish, but that all should come. His wish should be my command. It should make me want to be a witness. It should make me want to hand out that gospel tract. It should make me want to share the good news of the Lord. One of those men had to say, I'm going. Anybody else interested? Let me tell you something. In your circle, in your family, on your job, I need one amen here. Somebody's got to take the lead. Somebody's got to take the lead. Brother Roy, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you, sir? 78 years of age. Now you're looking at a preacher who's going to pray God will give him 10, 15 more years, firing away, maybe longer than that. I'm not going to put a limit on, but one of these days, Brother Roy's health will weaken, or Brother Roy will, and somebody in this church, somebody in this fellowship is going to have to take a step forward and say, we want a man who carried the flag, carried the torch, carried the tradition. We want somebody, I need an amen, that'll keep preaching the word of God just like it is. Somebody's got to take a lead. Somebody's got to step out. Somebody's got to stand up and be one of these men. They're all on board now. Watch. They break through the host of the Philistines. They break through. It literally means they made a breach to cleave. They tore that area in half in order to get to the well of Bethlehem. Here's what I'm thinking. I wonder if anybody will agree. It must have been God's will that they get to that well. Otherwise, they would have never made it. Against all odds, they're going to get some water for their king who has merely expressed a desire, a wish for that water. God let them get in there. And they drew water out of the well of Bethlehem. Does anybody here ever remember an old home place years ago and it had a well and they built that little wooden stand around it and it had this pulley up on the top and you let that bucket down in the well and you could hear it gurgle as it filled up and you brought it back out. Anybody? I see a few heads nodding affirmatively. That's what's going on here. Let's pull up some water. Let's pull up some water for the king. I don't want to spend all of my time on this, but I do believe I'll say this. Thank God for the drawers of water. Thank God for the drawers of water God has put in our midst as brothers and sisters in Christ. Is there a word from the Lord? What they asked Jeremiah. Is there a word from the Lord? You've got every right tonight. You deserve more than a book report. You deserve more than a psychological dissertation. You deserve more than a statement of current events. I'll tell you what you deserve tonight. You deserve more than my opinion. You deserve the Word of God tonight. That means somebody's got to draw some water from the well. I don't mind telling you, I enjoy that water drawing business from the well. It is a delight. It is a thrill. But let's not forget to thank God for those who'll go to the well and who'll draw the water and who will share the water with us. Hallelujah. They drew that water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they took it and they brought it to David. That brought in A-S-A. It's a verb, nasah. It means they lift it heavy. Water weighs 8 pounds a gallon. Don't know how much they got. They lifted it. They carried it. Probably running most of the way. Maybe with an enemy in pursuit. And they take it back to King David. Thank God. He didn't ask for it. They determined they wanted to do it because they loved it. I'm not going to preach it again. It's not, I think, the main thrust of the text. But we need some people who will love the leader, pray for the leader, want to do everything you can to refresh the leader. Thank God. The Bible says about men, not just every preacher, men who labor in the word. Difference between a preacher and a preacher who labors in the word. Those that labor in the word says they are worthy of double honor. Double honor. They want to honor their David. We have sung this week and tonight particularly, we're honoring our Savior. We're honoring our greater David. And every pastor still preaching the book today, get me an amen. He needs honor as well. They brought it to David. They brought it to David. And I would suppose maybe there the text can come to a glorious end. And David drank the water. David was thrilled and overwhelmed. But that's not what our text relates to us. They brought it to David. Nevertheless, I'm in verse 16. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. He would not drink thereof. I've read commentaries where they say that was rude of David. How ungrateful can a man be? Someone risked their lives to bring him water and he's not even going to touch it. Moody little character, isn't he? My, he's of ill temper up and down, looks like. There's a reason he would not drink the water. David saw in that water something far more significant than just a cup with H2O in it, or a canteen, or a bottle, which would have been a skin bag sewn together. He saw the blood. I'm sure he did. He saw the blood of those men. They risked their lives. They were willing to shed their blood in order to give David, that water. I hope I can explain this like it's in my heart. Help me now, and you're amening well. Them going and getting that water, risking their lives, that is an example, number one, I'd say, of loyalty. But here's what I want: amen. That is a supreme example of love. Sacrificial love. Love that is as strong as death. Love that has absolutely consumed these men. They have sacrificed for David. You see it, Brother Gunn? They have sacrificed for David. Now watch. If David takes that water and gulps it down, he has enjoyed, refreshed himself. But David won't do it. David's going to figure out a way. They have sacrificed. Hear me. David's going to figure out a way to sacrifice also. He's going to answer their self-sacrificing love with some self-sacrificing on his own behalf. I need somebody to do like that. Nod if you see what I'm saying. Sacrifice there. I shall sacrifice in return. What's David going to do with it? He wouldn't drink it. He poured it out unto the Lord. I'd love to have seen their reaction. He poured it out unto the Lord. Preacher, I don't know what to do with that. I'm absolutely positive this is the case, because David would have been familiar with this. David is offering a drink offering. A drink offering unto the Lord. Let me tell you what David just did right then. He just turned the cave into an altar. He just turned the cave into a temple. He just turned the cave into a church house. He's going to do a little bit of worshiping. Hallelujah. He poured it out unto the Lord. Spend a little while today studying the drink offering. Normally, we think of the offerings of Israel. There's the whole burnt offering. There's the meal offering. There's the peace offering. Then the sin offering and the trespass offering. And those are the five main offerings. Let's pick one. Let's pick the whole burnt offering. And I'm illustrating now, and I'll try to do so quickly. This Jew, and we're all bespeckled with sin. We've all failed. He's bringing a little lamb to the priest. And the little lamb will be slain if it is a whole burnt offering. And that's what it's got. A whole burnt offering. The throat will be slit. Heart continues to beat when the throat is slit. Every pump of the heart, a geyser of blood spurts out of the little lamb. Finally, the blood has expired. They take the little lamb and they skin him completely. And then they cut him into pieces. Listen to me, it's the only offering like this. And every bit of that lamb will be burned. They got fire, wood and fire on a big old brass altar. Brass is a symbol of judgment generally in the scripture. They'll burn every bit. Some of the offerings, the priests get some of it to eat. There's one offering, the priest offering, even the offerer gets a bit of it to eat and can eat it there in the confines of whole burnt offering. God gets every bit of it. He gets the fat. He gets the legs. He gets the head. Y'all, and what in the world is that a picture of? The word sin is never mentioned about the whole burnt offering. Never. Mentioned about those last two. It is Jesus who came to earth to totally obey his Father, to totally die on Calvary, and to do so, I need a good amen, to do his Father's will. Amen. I'm going to make a statement. It's radical. If you disagree, I'll respectfully discuss it with you. Preacher, you saying he didn't die for my sins? No, he died for our sins. You're saying his blood was not what? Yes, his blood, but the whole burnt offering doesn't have a thing to do with sin. It's Jesus saying, Father, I'm going to earth. I'm going to die on Calvary. And here's the number one reason I'm going to die on Calvary. I hope I get it. I mean, because you asked me to. Because I'm going to glorify you. Because I'm going to do your will. That's why they call it a sweet savor offering. The smell of that burnt meat, the smell of that, it wafts up heavenward, and the picture is God smells and God is pleased. He is pleased with the obedience and the death of his darling son on Calvary. Jesus died for you and me. Amen. 100 amen. But he also died to obey and please his Father in heaven. That's the whole burnt offering. Yeah, but Brother Bagel, your memory has slipped a cog there. You're supposed to be talking about the drink offering. I am. After the whole burnt offering has been offered, that Jew could take a hen of wine, about a quart of wine, and while the smoke's going up, he can go over here and pour out that wine on that smoldering offering. And that is a drink offering unto the Lord. Let me tell you about the drink offering. It's sort of like extra credit. It's sort of like the icing on the cake. He's my whole burnt offering. He pleased the Father. Then he became my sin offering. Then he became my trespass. But that wine is a picture of joy. I got a hen, that's just a man. I got a quart of wine, go over here, and I pour it on the, and it's a picture of joy. Yeah, it says, Jesus, I know what you did. You died to please your Father. Then you died to forgive me of my sin. And Jesus, I just want to say, thank you. I just want to say I love you. I just want to say I rejoice in what you've done on the cross of Calvary. I didn't have to, but I want to love you. I want to adore you. I want to worship you for what you did. David said, I can't believe the love I've just seen. I can't believe the dedication I've just seen. I think I'll worship God over it. I think I'll just pour it out before the Lord Jesus Christ. What do y'all think? Sometimes, I think the last time I remember it happened was a camp meeting. Two or three preacher boys sitting across the front, and you all may not approve of this, and I'm not even asking, we're not going yay or nay. They got to singing those songs of Zion. Brother Andy, and I don't know what happened. Something got into one of them. He got to shouting and praising God and carrying on. And then that other one sitting over there, he got up and started running. Did you all hear me in church? He started running. That boy ran all the way over yonder. He took him a lap. And if I'd have done it, I'd... I'd have been huffing and puffing. I think he decided I'm going for two. And he went to, preacher, that's excess. Why that's fanatic. You call it anything you want to. I believe the old boy was offering a drink offering to the Lord. I believe he was saying hallelujah. I believe he's saying joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. I can't thank him enough for what he did for me. David poured it out before the Lord. Psalm 22, the crucifixion psalm, we are told that Jesus poured out his soul unto death. He said, Father, I'm dying to please you. I'm dying to forgive the sinners. Let me just pour out. I thank you for the honor. I worship you for the privilege. Oh my, that ought to make us love our Savior even more. When Paul got ready to die, that wine, it's red like blood. When Paul got ready to die, time of my departure's at hand, he said, I am ready. I am ready. And the verb is spendo. I am ready to be poured out. Nero thought he executed Paul, thought he decapitated. Paul said he didn't do no such thing. My blood, I'll pour it out. My blood, I'll gladly give it. They thought they was executing Paul. Paul said, I'm worshiping, I'm glorifying, I'm rejoicing. Thank God the Lord saved my soul from hell. He poured it out unto the Lord. Let's get the next verse. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord. He's praying now. Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. I will not drink. I will not drink of the. Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Watch. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? I'm going to say something. We will never understand how God appreciates blood, how God honors blood. I think I'll just quote a verse and see how y'all act. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Oh, how God, David looked at that as the blood of those men who had risked their lives to bring him that water. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their life? Therefore, he would not drink it. He would not drink it. Now, in closing, I've got to show you two or three things, or try to show you two or three. Three mighty men went to the well, got water, brought it back, and offered it freely. Let me say it again. Three mighty men, giants of men, went to the well, fought the enemy to get there, risked it, and got the water and brought it back and offered it freely to all. Y'all got that now? I know another threesome. I know one that Paul calls the Godhead. What in the world does that mean? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the Godhead, you know what the Trinity did for me once? It attacked the enemy. It attacked the devil. It attacked hell. It attacked the grave. Went down there to the well of salvation, drew that water out, provided that water, came back where I was and said, do you want some? Whosoever will, come and drink. And it's without charge. Hallelujah to God. I sort of like that thought. And then that idea of it being by the gate, being by the gate. Oh my, I'm glad salvation. What was it Isaiah said? Even a child. Okay, I'm thankful one day I went by the gate. You say, who is the gate? A gate in Hebrew, same word as door in Greek. Jesus said, I need an amen here. I am the door. Hallelujah. These things did these three mighty men sacrifice. Had Judas been there that day? He wasn't. Had Judas been there that day, he would have said, "What a waste." He took that water and he poured it out on the ground. What a waste. By the way, God didn't say what a waste. David learned to worship God with everything he had. He learned to worship God with his heart. He learned to worship God with his crown. He learned to worship God with his staff. He learned to worship God with his heart. I need an amen now. Now he's learned to worship God with a cup of cold water. David, worshiping God in the midst of an everyday situation. I think David might have thought this. I'm trying to close now. I think David might have thought this. I can't drink that water. It's too costly a sacrifice for me. Y'all ever think how costly the sacrifice Jesus made on Calvary was? I'm sure I've got this right. And if I don't have it right, I want you to explain it to me after the service, if you would, please. Here's what Jesus had to do to make a blind man see. That did it. One day there's a deaf man, and Jesus did this. Deaf man. Jesus did this. One day there was a dead man. Three words. Lazarus, come forth. I know he's the Son of God. I know he's omnipotent, but that sure does look easy. Three words. Now let me tell you what he had to do to get you saved. Couldn't be done with a touch. Couldn't be done with this. Couldn't be done with. He had to allow them to nail him to an old rugged cross. He had to hang there bleeding after he'd been beaten, after a crown of thorns had been placed on his head, after his hands and feet. He had to hang there 6 hours, bleeding, in agony, and in pain. My God, that's what he had to do. Some things we just can't appreciate the cost. David said, that water cost him. But that we'd appreciate what he did. Acts 20, the blood of God was shed that day for us on Calvary's tree. We ought to appreciate it. Not that we don't, but we sure ought to love him, I think, a whole lot more than we do. I'm done. Pick out something sacrificial you can do for him. Well, now, preacher, you forget that. We already tithe. I'm not going there. I don't. But that just might not be too sacrificial. I think that's called a duty. Pick out something sacrificial you can do for the Lord Jesus. Thoughts are coming to me that I will not develop. It wouldn't hurt all of us to go back to the well of Bethlehem in our lives tonight. Go back where you remember he saved you. Go back to that first soul you won. Go back to that prayer that he answered so dramatically. Go back there. Reminisce and enjoy. But then come back to the present. Come back to the now and now. And make up your mind. You're going to love him. You're going to worship him. You're going to thank him for all he's done for you. Mary of Bethany, she poured ointment on our Lord. And Jesus said, everywhere the gospel is preached, she'll be talked about doing this. I guarantee you, these three brave little soldiers, they had no idea this was going to be written down in Holy Scripture. But what they did, not exactly anointing the Lord, but bringing it to David, and he poured it out in joy before the Lord, I'm pretty sure that'll be preached. That kind of dedication will be acknowledged till the Lord comes back to get us again. Here's the invitation. I want somebody to, I want this altar to be soggy, soggy wet when we get through. What? I want somebody to come down here and pour out a drink offering. Thank him. Love him a minute. Preacher, I'm not into that altar business. Hear me. You might ought to get into it every now and then. Best thing your wife can see sometimes, sir, is you walking to the altar, kneeling and obeying your Lord. Your kids never see daddy, daddy's boss, daddy's, they never see daddy on his knees. Might be the wisest thing you could do tonight. Let's come love him. Let's come adore him. Let's come appreciate him. Could we stand together with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed? Preacher, do I have to? You do not. It is an invitation, not a compulsion. But oh, I would delight, I would thrill to see us worshiping him. I'm not one of the three mighty men. I'm not a Mary of Bethany. But oh, thank God I can love him. I can worship him. Could our musicians come and gather around, run through the instruments, if you will. Oh my, you keep coming. Not for the preacher's sake, for the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Somebody thank him for the well of Bethlehem in your life. Let him know how much you appreciate the heritage, the parents, that old church where you got saved, that old preacher who drew the water from the well. Just adore him. Just adore him a little bit. Oh my. Father, we're not in a cave tonight. We're not in a fortress. We're in a beautiful, beautiful church sanctuary. But oh God, I pray we'll turn it into an altar. I pray we'll turn it into a place to thank you and adore you, magnify you. Go ahead and pray for that lost one you're burdened for while you're here. Go ahead and ask God to bless Sunday. Brother Roy fills the pulpit. Go ahead and slay that lion that's been rising up and bothering you and fighting you, that doubt, that fear, that sin. Go ahead and make up your mind. You're going to stand in the bean field. Not going to sell out. You're not going to run. You're going to defend the faith. I wouldn't be surprised there's some of us tonight that ought to make up our minds we're going to be more faithful at church. Oh, preacher, I didn't miss a night. Wonderful, I commend you. But I mean Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We need it. It's a way to testify of the validity and our dedication to the faith. Oh, God grant it. God grant it. We pray. Yep. Getting a little soggy around the altars. We're God's people. God's people. Loving him. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that love, you can. He died to make it possible. Brother Randy, let's sing a verse. Sir, if we could. Might be somebody needs to get saved. Hey, let me tell you. You want to meet Jesus tonight, you just leave your pew. You take a step down toward this altar. We'll meet you. We'll love you. We'll encourage you. We'll point you to our Lord. You obey him if the the Spirit of God is nudging in your heart. What we're going to sing, Brother Randy. I think we know it by heart, softly and tenderly. Jesus is, aren't you glad he calls that way? Let's sing it. Somebody come meet him tonight if you're here lost. Come home.
John said, I know of no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth.
Amen.
For a pastor to see young people weeping in the altar. Wait a minute, John, you saw Jesus. You were close to him. Yeah, that was a great joy, but there again, to see others, the heart of love John had. Not only for the Lord, but for people. We have been blessed. Brother Bagwell usually asks us, which message did you enjoy most? I usually tell him the one I'm hearing at the time, because they're all good, but this is unsurpassed. And I just reached out and gripped my soul. Praise God. Everyone done what God told you to do tonight. We have heard messages about David's mighty men. We have witnessed this week of one of God's mighty preachers. I didn't say that to lift him up. It's all for the glory of God. We're blessed. Oh, my heart's clear. Thank you so much. Pray for Brother Bagwell. He goes, another revival. God give him strength as he goes. Keep anointing him for Miss Debbie that makes it possible so many ways that a helpmate for him. And you're a helpmate. You have given this week, and as you leave tonight, there will be plates back at the back. You can give. It'll all go to Brother Bagwell. You know he's going to use it for the work of the Lord. It's his whole life. All day long. I try to get him when he's up here to go do something enjoyable. He just don't have time. Nothing wrong with being enjoyable, but he just puts God's word first. Seems to me like God's rewarding for it too. Rewarding us. That he sacrifices. And we reap the benefits of his sacrifices. Steady. Show yourself approved. We're blessed. I could go on. But we love you. Thank you for coming. If you are here as a visitor and don't have a church to go to, our doors are open. We love God sending people here. Brother Bob, what's more words?
Sir, preacher.
And you can be seated just for a minute.
Debbie and I just want to say thank you to you as a church family. You made reservations for us at a motel down the road here. spacious, clean. Got us up on the third floor this year, and it's quiet up there. Oh, we've been able to work and study. Thank you for your hospitality, for your kindness with meals, for your prayers for the meeting, for the love offering. Words cannot express the gratefulness in our heart. We love you. Been able to come enough years now, sort of getting to know you, and love you more every time God lets us come. I am interested in which sermon maybe stood out in your minds. And I made a little chart, but I didn't bring my pen in that I mark with. I'll just say this. Sunday morning, Shema, Beanfield. Sunday night, the last words of David. Monday night, Eleazar. His hand got weary, but he kept holding the sword. I tried to emphasize we might get tired, but we need to keep fighting, keep serving. Last night, Benaiah slew a lion in a pit, jumped down in there on a snowy day. I admire that. That didn't count the two lion-like men. That didn't count that Egyptian. What a warrior. And then tonight, water from the well at Bethlehem. If one of those stood out, normally I stand at the door and I got a big red pen, as big as pen I've ever seen, and I mark it. I didn't bring my pen in. But if you've got an answer of a sermon that maybe stood out, it'll linger in your mind. I would dearly love to hear your response. If you didn't get a booklet, we still got a few booklets left. Love to give one to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, preacher. God bless you. Oh, yes. Y'all want to get the grand total? Where it's five, we're almost 600. Fingers in the air over here. Let's count. 7, 9, 11, 12, 17, 19, 29, 39, 41, 42, 43, 48, 54, 56, 58, 60, 62, 63, 65, 68, 70, 73, 74, 76, 80, 85 on this side. All right, let me start up front and go back again. That's the best way. 2, 3, and that's 7, 9, 11, 12, 13, 17, 19, 20, 23, 26, 29, 32, 34, 36, 39, 42, 44, 45, 45, honey, 45 in this section. And preacher?
The balcony up there, Gary and Gail. Gary, come back in and tell us how many you have.
8 in the balcony. All right, we'll add those 8. 11, 13, 15, 17, 19, 20, 26, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 38. It's two back there. 40, 42, 42. This section's got 42. If y'all will just hold it real high, you can save me some steps. 1, 4, 7, 10, 13, 16, 20, 23, 25, 28, 29, 34 over there. And I think I've got that pretty accurate. The total for tonight, just for tonight, 213 times. We add that to 587, and I think we're at 700, are we not? 800. Never said I was good in math. 800, and we praise the Lord. Thank you for reading like you have. And all God's people said, amen. Don't forget to tell me if a sermon stood out.
Amen. Again, we're so honored you've come, honored that the Word of God's been presented and God has given the increase. Stand, we'll be dismissed. Josh, come up here, please, and dismiss us. He and Miss Kathy just got back from South Dakota, doing a lot of work up there with the Indian tribes, and we appreciate him for doing that. building and Bible school and carrying produce there. On. You're a part of it. Let's thank the Lord for it. This message, brother.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house, and we thank you, Lord, for the messages that we've heard this week, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for Mike Bagwell, Lord, and Debbie, and I pray that you bless them, Lord, as they travel and as he preaches, Lord, and I pray give him clarity of thought and spiritual interpretation, and I pray, Lord, that you bless this congregation, each one, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they find their way back here, Lord, on Sunday, Lord, or to their respective churches, and we pray, Lord, if there's still one here among us that's not accepted Christ, that's not seen this offering, the supreme sacrifice, Lord, in their heart, that tonight would be the night that they would yield and accept Christ as their Savior. Fill not to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.